Blog Talk Radio.
It is Sunday night, and that familiar slap of the bass means it's time for the weekend wrap, surveying the squared circle. We got all our good friends in tonight. We welcome back Iceman John Scully. Scully, how are we doing tonight, my man?
Everything's great. How are you guys doing?
Doing great, man. Doing great. Haven't had you around for a while, but let's also introduce the champ. As always, on Sunday, we're chilling with the champ, former heavyweight champ, Mr. Layman Brewster. What's going on tonight, Layman?
Hey, fellas, how y'all doing?
Everything's good.
Oh, man. Everything is good. Everything is good. John, I'm going to start with you because I know we have to let you go at 6:30, I want to start with you. First of all, tell us, what's been going on, what's happening in the amateur program around up there in your around Hartford and around that area. And, let's talk about what's going on up there first.
The first thing is I have a few amateur shows that are coming up in the next couple of weeks. There's actually a tournament they do every year in Brockton, Massachusetts, the Rocky Marciano tournament. It's a New England tournament. It's a big event. You know, they honor Rocky and the whole nine. So I have three guys entered in that tournament next Friday, not this coming Friday, but next Friday. And then actually we're doing a big show. There's a big, big show in Hartford the next Saturday, the 15th, which is it's kind of a unique thing. I've never been a part of anything like this. They're having all the best amateurs from the general area, and they've invited different promoters from all over. I think I don't know if he's coming, but I know Lou DiBella was invited and different guys like that. To kind of scout the talent, and they're expecting different guests to be involved, and so I'm involved with that. And I'm actually doing the broadcasting, the ringside broadcast. They're doing it's on some TV station, a regional cable outlet. But also another thing, I don't know if you've heard about this, but Sugar Ray Leonard's son, Ray Jr., and Marvin Hagler's son, Marvin Jr., they're actually, I don't know if you know this, but they're actually boxing against each other. On the 30-year anniversary of the Leonard Hagler fight, they're actually fighting a professional fight against each other. And I know that Larry Holmes and Jerry Cooney are involved with some of the ringside broadcasting duties. And as I understand it, we haven't figured out the logistics yet, but I'm going to be involved also. And part of it will be the announcing. I'll be part of the announcing team. So, it's going to be pretty interesting. They're doing that. And then finally, I was talking to Raymond the other day, I was filling him in, the USA Boxing, they have, which I didn't even realize they had, or maybe they're just starting it, but they have like an alumni association, and they've been very aware of the reunions that I've been doing. And they asked me if I would be interested in being on either heading up the alumni association or at least being a big part of it. And from what I understand, they want to expand on my reunions. They're going to give me access to their database and try and really make the reunions, like I always dreamed they would be, much bigger and much more well attended. So, on my end, there's lots of little things going on. I'm pretty busy with it.
Oh, that's very good to hear, John. Tell me, are you guys seeing an influx of amateurs coming up to your tournaments from New York, since they're talking about making the rules a little bit more stringent, or does that apply to the amateurs at all?
You mean in terms of what they're doing in New York with the insurance and everything?
Yeah. Yeah, is that
Well, here's what I'm hearing. It has nothing to do with the amateurs, but what I'm hearing is that people in Connecticut have been reaching out to all the promoters in New York to let them know that if you want to continue to do your shows and do them at sites in Connecticut, we'll be more than welcome to have you. So, there's several promoters in New York, at least two major ones, Joe DeGuardia and Lou DiBella. So I know for a fact that the people in Connecticut have extended their reach to them and told them that we're ready to take them on if they want to do the shows in Connecticut now.
Well, Layman, have you heard anything more about the fallout in New York and maybe moving some amateur programs out of New York? Have you heard anything about that?
No, man, I haven't really heard a lot about anything like that, man. Jabron would probably know. Is he on the line tonight?
Yeah, Jabron is here. I was just wondering, since you guys we're actually putting on shows, whether, Chicago or some of the sites around you, I'm sure, just like, Connecticut's reached out to some of the promoters. I'm sure Chicago and Indiana and different places have also reached out. I was wondering. Ron, have you heard anything about the state of amateur boxing in New York, and will this have any effect maybe on Golden Gloves and different tournaments that we know usually happen up there? I thought we had Jabron. Maybe he's not there.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Oh, JK, I'm here. I was muted.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Hey, Yeah, I haven't heard anything any further. I've just, heard about different promoters trying to come together and appeal the decision. But as far as how it's affecting going forward, I haven't heard any more word yet.
Okay. John, do we have any upcoming events at Foxwoods or any pro events that we should put on our radar?
To be honest, I haven't really heard anything about Foxwoods at all, to be honest. Lately, they've been kind of quiet. Mohegan Sun has been a little bit quiet. From what I've heard, the many of the people in the area, they don't have anything scheduled for the rest of the year. I guess they're waiting till after the new year to start things up again. But like I say, we're hoping. I'm not necessarily hoping, but I'm hoping that if New York really does continue on this path with the regulations they put in place, I'm hoping that there'll be plenty of shows in Connecticut. With Joe DeGuardia and Lou DiBella. But as of right now, there's no bigger fights at the casino set up. And it's too bad. I mean, years ago, we've had our shows in the last few years. They're still doing shows. But, there was a time when Foxwoods was very busy with shows. They a lot of top fights in the last 20 years have been at Foxwoods. A lot of James Toney fights, Larry Holmes, Hector Camacho, Roy Jones. So I'm just hoping that things can pick up.
Most definitely. Now let's talk a little bit about the biggest fool in the world here, and I'm referring to Mr. Tyson Fury. It seems that he has tested positive for cocaine. Layman, I got to come to you first, being heavyweight champ. And we've talked about this many times. I think we even talked about it last week. Now it kind of looks like he's being stripped. He's going to be stripped of at least the WBO title, maybe another belt also. Layman, could you tell us, you know, as a heavyweight, you know, I mean, what do you feel, how do you feel about a man that has come this far and now just seems to waste his opportunity? As I said, or, you know, I mean, it still hasn't been true yet, but I did say that I don't think we'll ever see him back in the ring again, and that might be a little harsh, but Layman, as a heavyweight champion of the world, tell me, you know, how do you feel to see a man like, you know, representing a belt of this stature like this?
Well, I got several emotions and thoughts and feelings about it, and it's just my own personal opinion, and I could be wrong because I'm on the outside looking in, but the way it looks to me, being a former world champion and knowing the desire to keep my title and defend my title, I know the things that I would have I done to try to, you know, the 2 years I had the title, I know I never would allow myself to be put in position, especially if you're talking about losing your title not in the ring, you know, for a guy like him to get caught up with a substance like cocaine of all drugs, you know, not even marijuana, I'm talking about cocaine, that really, in my mind, tells me that he don't really care anymore. His main objective was to become a world champion, and I think he just kind of want to go out on top by saying, okay, I beat Vladimir, and I won all these different titles. So, I mean, you know, just judging by the things that he said, the way he's carried himself since he won the title, I really think that I have to agree with you, JK, when you said that we'll probably never see him again back in the ring. And the reason why, I at first when you said, I didn't understand that, because I was looking at it like, man, this dude won the title. His next fight, no matter who he fights, he's going to make even more money when he fights Vladimir. But I don't think that matters to him at this point. I think that he's content, and I don't think he feel. I think that he knows, and this, again, this is me talking. I think a part of him believes that if he was to step back in the ring with somebody, he's going to get exposed for the fighter he really is not. And I just think that the pressure that's on him now, because the whole world, he has the attention of the whole world, because now he's the champion, he beat Vladimir, it's like he probably feel like, well, where can I go from here? Who could I fight next outside of a guy like a Anthony Joshua, Deontay Wilder, who I feel, and a lot of people feel, will embarrass him. So I think that what he's doing is he trying to hold on to his titles as long as he can until they strip him. But just the fact that he tested positive for cocaine, knowing that he was going to be drug tested and that he has not even defended his title, tells me that he's content and he don't really care to fight again. And I have to agree to JK. So I think, jumping on your side, brother, I think that he's done. I think he's done.
Yeah, I mean, you know, other than the guy sitting at the bar, you know, boasting about his exploits back in his youthful days, I really don't see him having any substance anymore as a fighter. Scully, your reaction to the things that Tyson Fury has done, was this stage just too big for him?
You know, I mean, I'll tell you a funny thing. It occurred to me even before this happened, honestly, before this even happened, it occurred to me a few times, and I said, you know, it's hard to differentiate between an act, like a Nassim Hamed act, and reality. And sometimes it's occurred to me with some of the things Tyson Fury has said that he might be a little unbalanced. You know, it might not be just an act and for hype and for publicity. I think something might be, you know, psychologically wrong with him. That's been my thought for the last few months, and you know, it seems like he might just be imploding now. Because I guess, you know, they said the other day, even outside of the positive drug test, they had a doctor say that he was mentally unfit to fight this fight. That wasn't even connected to the drug, the failed drug test. That was just something separate where they said he's, you know, depression or whatever the case may be. So I'm kind of, my gut feeling is that there's some psych issues here at work, and that's contributed to his out of the ring persona. He's not necessarily acting. I think that's him. We all thought he was joking, but I don't think maybe he wasn't joking.
It's a good point, man. That's a good point.
Yeah,
Devon, you wanna kind of give the fans' point of view on this?
I mean, Scully hit it on the head. I mean, the reports came out prior to the positive drug testing that he was unstable, like mentally, not physically. So, from a fan perspective, I mean, I could just say here, I don't know about globally, but not too many people is concerned or have Tyson Fury on their radar or thinking about him, you know. A lot of people don't even know who he is. So this isn't a big issue or a big topic. It's just like Chavez Jr.
Speaking of like Chavez Jr., there's a rumor that Adrian Broner could give a title shot at Ricky Burns' title at 140. Scully, what do you think about that matchup at 140, Adrian Broner against Ricky Burns?
I mean, you know, it's funny because you know, I'm not necessarily a fan of Adrian Broner, you know, just his persona and the whole nine, but you know, he's very skilled, obviously, and when he's on his game, you know, I think sometimes he has some mental lapses and mental weaknesses. But if he's on it, if he was ever came in 100% and the judging was fair and everything, you know, I would give him a very good chance to beat Ricky Burns. I'd say any guy that has hand speed and a certain amount of elusiveness and a little bit of flash, they're a threat to beat anyone. Like that's a difficult style to go against. You know, it all depends on the guy's level of confidence, you know, at that time, if he can carry it out with confidence. And you know, so all personal feelings aside, I mean, as a boxing person watching him, I think the best of Adrian Broner has a chance to win that fight, you know, even if it's in England. I would give him, I like as far as skills go, I like Adrian. And if he's on top of his game, you know, they better not overlook him, that's for sure. So I think it's definitely an interesting fight. It would you know, I don't know if it's a super fight, but it's definitely an interesting fight for real boxing people to pay attention to.
Scully, I have to agree with you on the skill side, and I think everybody knows how, you know, I feel about Adrian Broner. But we're talking about skill-wise, and I think this would be a good matchup. But, Layman, you know, after all the difficulties and everything that you know, Adrian Broner has went through, I mean, you know, is this really a face that you want to put, you know, of a champion?
Yeah, I think so, man, and I'll tell you why. Because if you look at Broner today versus the Broner 2 years ago, you see a more serious broner. You see a little more mature broner. You see a broner who is more focused on broner than what he considered to be his big brother Floyd. And I think he, like an actor, if you will, an actor sometimes gets so caught up in a role that they actually, after movies, have to go to shrinks to try to get themselves back to who they really are. And I think that was the reason why he lost to Madonna, for instance, is because I just believe he was so caught up into what Floyd did that when he got himself in the trenches, then he didn't know what to do. And I think that Broner today, because of his relationship with Floyd, that has been an eye-opener for him to understand that it is not about somebody that you admire, even if your styles are similar, you do what got you there. And with just all that has been on his plate, I really believe that we're going to see the next few years, as long as he can keep out of trouble, if he can keep himself together outside of the ring with the drinking problems or whatever the negative things that you've heard, if he can manage to overcome those demons, man, I really, really, I mean, it's me personally being biased, but I have high hopes for that dude because he does possess something that you want to see in the boxing ring out of a fighter. You know, he has good hand speed, he has good power, he has great skills, and you want to see that, man. And I think that if he's right, I think he could beat almost anybody out there today, but that's my opinion.
From a fan's perspective, DeBron, this is the 140-pound weight division. I mean, there's plenty of talent in here. Do you still really think that Adrian Broner is worthy of another title match when we have so much talent in that division? Shouldn't we give some of the other young guns a shot at this?
Well, JK, actually, I think it's a cop-out because Adrian Broner really can't make 140. He struggles to make 140. He needs to be at 47, and is that he has the skill and ability to beat majority of those guys at 47, but I think that Madonna loss took away something from him that, you know, that he, of course, he's not going to speak of, but I feel like that fight took something away from him that kind of scared him away from the 47 division. That's why he wants to try to pick on the smaller guys to take the easy way out, because he feel like he might not be able to test with the top-level guys at 147, and that's just my opinion.
Look, a lot of different opinions about Mr. Broner. Let's see if that fight can be made, and then we'll talk about it. See exactly what you guys think about it. Scully, Lomachenko, Nicholas Waters matchup. What do you think?
I really like it. It really caught me off guard that they made the fight, you know, without, you know, that I hadn't even heard that they were trying to make it, and they made it, and, you know, which is a beautiful thing. I wish more fights were that apparently easy to make. Walters, you know, he's very good. You know, he's got the whole package going on, but the Lomachenko is just, he's unbelievable to me. I've been watching some video, actually just very recently, this week, I was watching some videos on him, and it's just like his movement. I think it might even have been Roy Jones who used the word the Matrix, and I was thinking about seeing that movie. I only saw that movie one time, but, you know, the way the camera, the trick photography, where they got the guy, and he's almost like, you know, he's got no bones in his body. He's just flowing all over the place and elusive. And, you know, Lomachenko, he's got that movement, and it's just hard to time him. And now, you know, he's got that power. I don't know. I mean, I'm not ready to pick against him at this point in his career. He's just, I think he's a very special guy. And I think it's going to be a big win for him.
Yeah, that I can't wait. You know, and it's going to be on HBO. Scully, do you think? HBO is taking this fight, but they've turned down the Pacquiao fight. Do you think that HBO is starting to be a little more selective in their fights and not just letting the guy because they have a name or following? Or do you think that HBO just doesn't think that it has the pay-per-view audience that it used to?
Right. I think it might be some of that. But I was actually kind of surprised when they terminated the thing with Pacquiao. And for me, I've never been a fan of that aspect of the business, where – you have the in-house fighter and they cater to him. And even the broadcasters, they subliminally, if anything, they favor the guy. And, I'm just happy that fights like Lomachenko and Walters are being made, whatever the case may be. I like Pacquiao as much as anyone. I don't like a fighter just to fight anybody. Like a lot of times, you get a guy and he becomes so big that he could fight Donald Duck and everybody would be really excited about it because he's in it, because he's in the fight. But for me, I don't care how big you are or how much I even like you, I still want to see you in the best fights. And I do think the fight that he's got coming up, Pacquiao didn't pick a soft touch by any means. I think he's in a real fight. I give him credit for that. But Lomachenko Walters is a really exciting, two young guys that are in the game. Lomachenko's young as a boxer, and I just think it's a very great for boxing. It's a great fight, and we need more of that. I'm like I said before, I'm amazed how apparently easy it was to make the fight. There was no, I didn't even know they were trying to make it. So there was apparently no drawn out, stressful negotiations. They put it together easily, and that's the bottom line. Is that's all that matters for me.
I definitely hear you there. Well, Scully, I know you have to go, so why don't you tell everybody where they can find you on social media, and you can let us know once again what events you have coming up. And anything you just might want our audience to know before we let you go.
Like I say, I'm always on the Facebook, John the Iceman Scully. I go on the Twitter and the Instagram, Iceman John Scully. And, just keeping busy. Like I say, I'm involved in a few different projects, as I mentioned earlier. And I'm also involved with the alumni committee with USA Boxing now, and I'm trying to get these reunions to be much, much bigger. They're gonna give me access to their database, their contact database. So you can look forward in the future. These reunions, we might be seeing 300 or 400 guys at them, hopefully. I'm sure Lehman will be one of them. So So I'm going to get you there. I always keep in touch. I let them know everything. And, but I'm hoping to get, guys that people haven't seen in years. I want to get guys like Clinton Jackson from the 76 team. I want to get him there. I want to get Donald Curry back in the mix. I want to get Bruce Curry back in the mix. I want to get Sugar Ray there. I want to get Tommy Hearns. I want to get Aaron Pryor. I want to get everybody there. So I'm working on it. So wish me luck, and when it happens, you guys will be among the first to know.
Oh, hey man, glad to hear that you're doing things, big things, and we look forward to having you back on the show, talking about it, and just talking boxing in general, man. I gotta say, miss you on Sundays, man. So. Hey, you have a good night, and we'll see you next week.
All right, fellas. Have a good show. Have a good night. I'll talk to you guys soon.
Thank you, brother.
Yes, sir.
All right, gentlemen. Well, it has been a while since Mr. Scully has been in, and just wanted to get him in to talk about a few things tonight. But Layman, I got to kind of let you monopolize the show tonight, man, because this is a situation that I've almost I can't even think about when something like this has happened. I mean, we had the Buster Douglases, we had the Mitch Greens. I mean, you know, we had all kinds of different things happen, but heavyweight guys, at least from my era, there, you know, Muhammad Ali, all the way up to Larry Holmes. I mean, this was a dedicated life skill. When it was time for you to go in the ring, you know, pardon my French, it wasn't time to fuck around. It was time to get down to business. Layman, is this more of seeing, you know, boxers boxers feeling entitled, or can we just rack this up as, you know, that one incident out of a million?
You're speaking of this whole Tyson Fury ordeal, correct?
Yes.
You know, man, I wanna say a couple of things, man. One, I said, what's that?
I said the floor is yours, champ. This, you can, you know, say what you want.
All right. Well, thank you, man. You know, that's what I love about this show is that it's unedited, you know, and I get to really say my piece in terms of what I think as a fighter and as a fan. I think that, I mean, you said it first, and I didn't agree with you because I was in my shoes looking at the situation, because I know how hard I worked to get to the top, to make it, all the sacrificing that I made to get there. There was no way on earth I was going to get there and then be ready to blow out the candle. My ultimate goal was never to defend the title, but it was just to get the title, and that was all my prayers ever amounted to. But you got a guy like Tyson Fury that I believe never was a killer, because if you look at his fights, and listen, I'm not trying to discredit him. It's not to say that he can't fight, because obviously you became heavyweight champion of the world and you beat a man that hasn't been beaten in over 10 years. That says something, regardless of the fact of all the things that may or may not have played in with Vladimir losing, he lost. And with that being said, Tyson Fury won. And so I would think that the world would be at his feet, and he could really financially capitalized, being that he proposed to his wife in the ring and did all that serenading and all that, you know, theatrical stuff. I would think that he would come into the next fight feeling like, yes, I am the champ. Now you're going to have to kill me to take this title. Well, when he started playing these games and this talk that just was not of boxing from one fighter to another, the things he said after he won the title, it kind of told me a little bit, or shall I say made me feel some kind of way. It made me feel as though this man no longer had a desire to be a boxer. And I said to you that he did, because I just couldn't fathom doing all that work, all those sacrifices, having those patience to to get the title, to only feel like, okay, now I'm going to blow out the candle. Well, now the fire is at its hottest. It'll never be as hot as it is when you first win the world heavyweight title. And I thought he would take advantage of it, but obviously he does not. And what he's trying to do is he's trying to, for lack of a better word, he's trying to make everybody think that he's crazy. He's doing all the things that would make people say, well, you know what, let's just move on to the next fighter, because I don't think he wants to fight Anthony Joshua. I don't think he want to fight a guy like Deontay Wilder. I don't think he want to fight any heavyweight in the top 10, to be honest with you. I think he's gotten soft. I think he's gotten lax. I think he's lost his desire. And so I think he's doing everything in his power subconsciously and consciously to eliminate himself from defending his title. Because it's like, now I'm at the top of the mountain. I don't care if somebody wants to get in my spot. I'll step down. Well, I don't want to step down by the way of somebody beating me, because I think his biggest fear inside is losing after he did all that, putting on the Batman suit and all that psychological talk. I think that he put so much pressure on himself now because the world is looking to see what he's going to do next. You just beat the man, Vladimir Klitschko, and you talked a good talk and fought the fight. So now let's see what you really got, because now you're going to fight somebody that's coming for your throat, just like you was coming for Vladimir. And I think that, I think personally speaking, the thought of it is more than he can handle from a psychological standpoint, because don't get me wrong, there were people giving, calling him, wanting to do interviews, wanting him to make appearances, probably, I'm definitely sure, before he won this title. But now his phone never stops ringing, and now all the people that sit up at night and think about how to get your money has called him, has reached out to him. Him being engaged, just that whole theatrics that he put on, I'm sure all of her friends, and everywhere he goes, now he can't go anywhere without people recognizing him, especially in England. So, with that being said, I think that it has made him a little crazier than he probably already was. Because to be a fighter, you gotta be a little crazy. I will admit that, you know, because you're going into a lion's den every time you step in that ring, and you don't know if you're gonna walk out of it. So it does something to you psychologically. But I think that the pressure, I think it's just too much for him to bear. He may not ever say it for about the next 10 years, but at some point, I believe he's going to say, that pressure got to me. That's why he turned to cocaine. And it's crazy, because the thing is, I know for a fact it was somebody around him that said, hey, man, won't you try a couple lines, or however it went down. Because people, when you become successful, people always do things to try to get in your good grace. So you get what I would call one of these devils out here who was maybe his friend, but maybe they was a shady type of character, and invite him out to a club and maybe that stuff with their nose, and you know, that, you know, you get to drinking and you really lose your judgment, and he slipped. But I think that it all played in with the whole doctor thing, saying the doctor saying he got mental issues. I think that was with the pressure all adding up. But with this whole cocaine, I mean, I know he knew he was going to be tested at some point. So that just tells me he's looking for a way out. He's really looking for an escape. That's why we haven't seen interviews of him talking about defending his title. We ain't seen interviews of him talking about he can't wait to get back in the ring. He can't wait to defend his title. I truly believe that the pressure was too much for him. And I think at some point, somewhere down the road, and anytime soon, until he can deal or fix his own reality, which is the pressure got to him, that he's then going to admit it at some point in his life. And that's just what I really think and feel in my heart about it. Now, we talk about the boxing division today because in the heavyweight division, it's changed because, as I was telling you, now is the era of the tall heavyweight, because when guys were fighting that were around 6'2", 6'3", which was about the average height in boxing, back then, referees, especially people like Mills Lane, people like that, they wouldn't let you home. Then you got these 6'7", 6'8", 6'9", 7 feet fighters. Man, they are letting these fighters home, which actually put an end to the reign of the average heavyweight, so to speak. You know, even a guy like George Foreman in his prime would have had a lot of trouble fighting these guys way taller than him, as strong and as powerful as he is, because these referees allow the fighters to hold, which it for a guy like me and other fighters around my height between 6 foot and 6'3", 6'4", man, you cannot fight a guy 6'8". It's just impossible, because the only way you can get to him is to get up under him. And when you get up under him, you've done all that work to get there, and the first thing he's going to do is grab you, and the ref just going to say break. He's never going to take a point whatsoever. And so that ended, my opinion, it ended the average gentleman, the average fighter, having a chance in the heavyweight division. Even a guy like Mike Tyson, as mighty and as great as he was, he would have had problems, because he would have been getting held, and every time a tall guy holds on to you, he's able to lay his weight on your back because he's holding you, laying on you, which takes the strength out of your legs eventually, and then he would have been worn down. So I think that boxing today has changed in the way where now, unless you're a tall fighter, you really don't stand a chance in boxing. I just blame that on the referees. And anybody that disagree with me, I say go watch any fight against any tall fighter and watch how many times they hold. But then go back to any time in the 80s and watch two fighters and see how they try to hold, and watch how the ref be quick to say, I'm going to take a point, I'm going to disqualify you. So times has changed. And then again, here we go. You guys today, these guys are 260, 70, 80, 300 pounds. You got a guy that big laying on you, and you ain't but 6'1", 220? Man, I don't care if you on steroids, dude. That's going to wear you out. There's no way that a guy can compete in that heavyweight division. The 6'1", 6'2", 220, 230 or less versus a guy 6'8", 250, 260 pounds is just as athletic as the guy that's 220. So I think that boxing, as painful as it is to say, I think that boxing has to evolve. And when I say evolve, that the heavyweight division has to be divided at some point. Because there is just absolutely no way that a guy 6'8", 300 pounds, or should I say, would lose to a guy 6 foot, 220 pounds. Because now with the vitamins and just the education we have today, these fighters are just as athletic and move just as good as these smaller guys these days. So, you know, and then you look at like the smaller weights. You go every 5-6 pounds, these guys are casting to a different weight. But in the heavyweight division, it's so unfair where you got a guy 210 pounds fighting a guy 260 pounds. It's just not fair whatsoever. But then we take it another step. today, guys are not coming into the gym saying, hey, I want to be heavyweight champion. Well, these guys are being recruited by coaches because they're tall, they look the part, and so they're being recruited to get into boxing. And any good athlete can he can excel at any sport, any good athlete. But what happens is when you are in boxing, you have to be more than just a good athlete. You have to have what we call in boxing, you have to have a dog in you. Because when you fight a person like me, for instance, I was a dog. I didn't care about money. I didn't care about fame. I didn't care about nothing other than becoming heavyweight champion of the world. And so when you would fight a guy like me, you may be the best fighter in the world for the first 3, 4, 5 rounds. But I'm not in it to look good. I'm in it to win. I may give you 4 or 5 rounds if that's what it takes to win, but my goal is to knock you out. And again, I'm doing this because I want to be a world champion. It ain't because I wanted to be rich. It ain't because I wanted to be famous. It ain't because I wanted to do interviews. None of that. I wanted to be a world champion, and we don't have that killer anymore, so to speak. You know, you got very few fighters that show that bloodthirst to be a champion anymore in the heavyweight division. And that, my friend, in a nutshell, is what I feel is wrong with boxing, so to speak. I mean, I think one of the things that hurt boxing the most in the heavyweight division was that both the Klitschkos held the titles and they were not they weren't killers, so to speak. Not to say they weren't great fighters, but they weren't killers. They weren't exciting fighters. They were not the type of fighters that when a fight was on, you saw, I want to watch this because I know it's going to be a great knockout and it's going to be a great fight, win, lose, or draw, because we know that their style was to pick, and then pick until I can find, if I can hurt you, then I can become this monster. But they don't come in the ring a monster. They come in the ring playing, well, I'm going to hit you from as far away as possible so that I can get hit so that I can win. And now, don't get me wrong. That's great, because the object of boxing is to hit without getting hit. But that ain't what the fans want to see. The fans want to see two people that's willing to fight in the telephone booth. And we don't have that today. And because of the trainers that have died out, again, we there's nobody to teach that. So the saying is, the blind cannot lead the blind, and that's kind of where we're at today. But you are starting to see more and more trainers come out the woodworks that were great fighters or good fighters in their past, and they are starting to produce good fighters. So that's what I got to say on boxing.
Jabron, while Layman was talking, I kind of felt like I was looking at goddamn Don King. That was the biggest line of bullshit that I have ever heard Layman spout since he's been on the show.
What?
Listen. All of that bullshit is good. Jabron, let's kind of go down the list. Vetkin, Tyson Fury, Huck, all these guys are very possessive of skills. They're very big guys, and all that Layman said is true. But what he forgot about was the mental fortitude. It doesn't matter how big these guys are when they've got their mental midgets. So what I'm going to say to you, Jabron, is in the heavyweight division, do you think that it's a lack of, Layman says killer instinct, I'm going to say that it's a lack of common sense and a lack of dedication that has caused your generation to turn away from the heavyweight division and look more for the flash and dash instead of looking for the guys that were really dedicated. And when the heavyweight champion belt meant something, like back in their era, than what it does now when you have 27 heavyweight champs, diamond, gold, tin, platter, you know, I mean, you know, I think they've just watered it down. And like you said, and once again, Layman made some good point talking about we don't have teachers anymore, but in order for you to get teachers, you have to have students, goddammit. And these people are not students. The only thing they are people that want a paycheck and decided that this was the best thing that they could do in order to enrich themselves, not necessarily what the title meant. Do you agree or disagree?
Yeah, I agree. I definitely agree. But I'm saying, yeah, I mean, y'all both making the same point. It's just that he just came from a different angle because, you know. You know, Layman was just politically correct, and yours was just, you know, just street, you know, natural, real.
Mine was raw. Mine came from the heart.
I also said in a way that boxing fans and people that watch this sport, I felt like I needed to say it in a way where people could understand it and break it down in a technical sense. Because, yeah, I could have definitely said it the way you said it. Because, yes, we basically said the same thing. But I just wanted to expand on it because I really feel like I don't want anybody to have a question of doubt in their mind as to what I meant when I said that.
Definitely. All right. Well, you know, now the other question is, and this is something that Eddie Hearns wants, but I'm not exactly sure how it goes. And Landon, I'm sure you would be a little bit more familiar with this. If there's to be a Joshua fight with Klitschko, Eddie Hearns also wants the two belts to be on the line that Fury has. Layman, is this how that process is handled, or would there have to be an elimination fight, more or less, for the WBO and WBA belts?
I don't know if I understood. Could you repeat that again? I don't know if I quite understood the question.
Well, Eddie Hearns wants Tyson's Fury two belts to be on line also if they make the Joshua Klitschko fight. But would that be the way that the WBO would handle that, or do you think that, you know, knowing the WBO, you know, and the different organizations as they say, do you think the WBO and WBA would have an elimination tournament rather than put Fury's two belts on the line in that fight, or how does that procedure go?
Well, you know, man, that's a hard one because I don't know what their thinking is, but I think that the best thing that they could do is hold a tournament because then you're going to see some really good fights, and I think that helps the sport versus to say, oh, well, we're going to give it to the next in line unless you're saying we're going to let you know, like the number one and number two in line fight for that belt, man. If I'm answering your question correctly, but that's what I think they should do. Have a tournament, a top 10 tournament, man. All the fighters that are in the top 10, I think that they should do a big tournament. They really should, and that'll bring some real excitement to the boxing and the WBO.
Yeah, I would definitely love to see that happen, especially the WBO and WBA with, you know, like I said, with all the different titles that they have, then, you know, you could bring all of those, you know, all of those titles together. I mean, you know, this would be a way to eliminate some of that. What did you think about the tournament there, Jabron? A heavyweight tournament for the WBA and WBO titles.
I mean, I think it'll be great. I mean, we've seen the success of the Super Six with the 168. So why not? I mean, I enjoyed it. I don't know about you guys, but I enjoyed the 168 tournament, even though it had a couple of hiccups here and there. But hey, that's boxing.
Yeah, I definitely want to see exactly what happens there. It should be good. It seems that we might be a little bit closer to Golovkin Danny Jacobs fight. We talked about it on Tuesday. When we talked to Abel Sanchez, and since then Dan Raphael has wrote a column about the Sanchez Jacobs fight. Layman, now that HBO has become a little bit more selective, do you think that there's a good possibility that HBO might buy this fight, what do you think about the matchup, possibly in December 10th?
You're speaking of Joshua versus Fury?
No, I'm talking about Triple G versus Danny Jacobs.
Oh yeah, oh of course they're gonna, if they're smart, they're gonna buy it most definitely, because that's a fight that people want to see, man. People want to see somebody that we believe will be able to give Triple G the challenge that I think that we want to see. Like, we really want to see him challenge. We want to see him in a fight that, you know, he cannot just dominate. And I ain't to say he can't dominate Jacobs, but Jacobs is a good fighter, man, and I think he could bring something to the table that may be able to let people see that Triple G is, you know, not superhuman, so to speak, because I don't think that he's superhuman. I just think that he hasn't fought the caliber of fighters that he is, so to speak, on his level. And so I think this makes for a good matchup. I think with this, it'll bring out the best in Jacobs as well, man. I mean, I think it'll be a great fight in HBO. They're smart. They'll definitely buy this one.
Yeah, I kind of have to agree with you. I'm hoping that we definitely can see this on HBO, especially after we see what kind of numbers the Kovalev Ward, Pacquiao Vargas, what kind of numbers they bring in. Layman, hey, man, as always, you know, Good talking to you, I know I get on your nerves sometimes, you know, I do make it a little raw sometimes, but
never.
Hey, man,
never, never.
That's just me, man. You know.
No, man, but, I love that we can agree to disagree, but see, the thing is, Jabron ain't going to admit it, but you said exactly the same thing I said, but you just summed it up in 30 seconds.
Hey, man, but hey, I kicking it with you guys, though, man. And it's hard sometimes, you know, to just cut it down to just an hour, man. But,
JK,
why don't you get, yeah.
Before we go, one quick note. I've heard some whispers this week about a possibility of a Bradley Porter fight. So it seems Al Heyman and Bob Arum are speaking.
Oh, okay. That sounds like a good fight to me. I would love to hear something about that. Glad you might. As a matter of fact, I might call Mr. Porter tonight and see what's up with that. I also want to know what's up with Gary Russell. Why don't you give us your final thoughts for the evening, Jabron? Let people know where they can find you on social media. And then we'll go to the chat.
Yes, I'd like to thank the fans for tuning in once again. Thank you, JK, for having me on. And thank you, Champ, for just letting your mind be free, because this is one place we can do that. And with that being said, you can find me at Facebook, Jabron, J-A-B-R-A-N. Clemon, C-L-E-M-O-N. That's Facebook.
All right, and Layman, your final thoughts for the evening, my man. Let us know anything you might have going on, and, you know, maybe you and Scully are working on a project together, or you got some amateur shows or something. What's going on with the champ?
Yeah, man. Well, I'm glad you asked, Chuck. Ha-ha! Now, I just came back from Columbus, Ohio, and I was dragging your name all through the mud, JK, because I told Buster Douglas that I drove up to meet with Buster Douglas so that we could start talking about what we want to do in terms of him putting his Ohio team together, me putting together my team from Indiana, and then coming to fight you, Chucks. So we're working on that, man. It's definitely in the works. We're going to be trying to draw support from businesses and all the boxing gyms. And, you know, we really want to have a good time with this thing. We want the people to come out and support us. Our whole goal is to try to get as many kids as we can off the street. We know everybody's not going to be a book scholar. Everybody's not a basketball, football fan. What we want to do is try to show kids that there's a way to get off the street without having to go through the peer pressure. You can learn a lot about yourself when you have to hit a bag for 3 rounds or 3 minutes, just 1 round for 3 minutes. And, you know, you learn confidence about people bullying you. And that's something that me and Buster Douglas do daily, try to work with kids and work with young adults and try to mentor to them, not just about boxing, but about life and share our struggles. So I just ask that everybody will support that, man. And I know I just talk trash only because I ain't the one guy getting the ring anymore. And it just seemed like a lot of fun to have a guy like Buster Douglas against a guy like Layman Brewster, him bringing his best 12 from Ohio, me bringing my best 12 from Indiana, and then going on to fight other states, man. So I just want that support. And I thank you, JK, for giving me this opportunity to even come on your show to even be able to talk about that, man. So if anybody hear about that, I'd like for them to spread the word. And you can follow me. It's Layman Brewster, LamonBrewster. And that's Facebook, that's Twitter, and that's Instagram. And you can shoot me a question and, you know, be ready for a real answer, because I don't pull punches, baby.
All right, man. Well, hey, love having you every Sunday, man. We're going to try to get Scully back as much as we can, and we're going to try to get things going on, you know, not only the amateur program, but also the reunions, and enjoy talking to some of the legends of boxing and some of you guys that you know, were pioneers in bringing the sport to the public and bringing it out of the, you know, little smoky rooms and giving it a much better reputation. You know, we appreciate everything that you guys have done for the sport. So, with that being said, hey, gentlemen, I look forward to talking to you next Sunday. Jabron, I'll be talking with you Tuesday on the Pugilist Corner. And don't forget to catch us next week on the Weekend Wrap. Have a great night, everyone. See you next week.